Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. All glory goes to God for this day. I just want to thank God for giving us his breath and strength, for this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. The more I entertain that song, the more it moves me, because there's a level of simplicity involved in that. Even though the people may see him as a nobody, and he says he goes from corner to corner, door to door, and people look at him and they think that he has nothing, but he has everything because he knows who provides everything for him. He has now been transformed, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of his mind. Yes, externally, he may look like he's a nobody, but in truth, he is everything that God intended him to be, because he is complete inside out, not outside in. Praise God, praise God. You see, the word tells us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to thy saying, and let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That's very simple. Finding God's word. All we got to do is open up a book. He was so good to us that he would transfer the living word into a written word to allow us to be able to know who is really somebody in our life, who can provide everything we need in our life. Oh, yes, God is good. All glory and praise goes to him for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace, and his forgiveness despite of our outward behavior or sometimes our callous heart or our ego or pride. He still loves us, and he deems us as worthy. I say that because, again, he calls us his masterpiece. And a masterpiece, sometimes you go to the greatest museum, that doesn't have to be very complex. A masterpiece, just a beautiful, beautiful collage, if you will, of different things that when you look at it, it's just simple. Or it could be just a tree or a bowl of fruit, but brings so much meaning. See, Jesus was that way. He had nowhere to lay his head, but he came with an appearance of simplicity, but he had so much wisdom and knowledge within him to take away and confound the wise by using the simple. He rode in on a donkey, not a steed. God is so good. He wants us to reduce things down. And today I want to bring a few quotes to you. See, nature is pleased with simplicity. Nature is no dummy. Isaac Newton, I have three things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion, and the three greatest treasures are the three greatest treasures we can have. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication and beauty of style and harmony and grace and rhythm. Good rhythm depends on simplicity. People, it's not that complex. I said the quotes usually out of the special. Normally I start with the prayer, but I want us to reduce our thinking down to something as simple as Jesus when he gave us the way to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Very simple, but brings so much power. So much power. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now as we go forward, Father God, to become who and what you want us to be. I thank you, Father God, for making it real simple for us. All we have to do, Father God, is accept you as our personal Lord and Savior. Believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Real simple, the ABCs. Father God, we as man has made things so complex. I know I'm guilty of that myself. But I thank you this day, Father God, going forward, Father God, we'll embrace the simplicity of accepting you. We'll embrace, Father God, this day, the power that comes with simplicity. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray because more than anything else, we can speak and we can share all the knowledge and wisdom, Father God. But a simple message of love, Father God, is all we need. You are love. Four simple letters. Thank you, Father God, that you guide us and direct us to grasp the meaning, the depthness of those four letters. And Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus that those who struggle because they may feel this fear of the other four letters, fear, F-E-A-R, those four letters keep people from embracing your love. Very simple. I ask this day, Father God, that we use the next three letters, Y-E-S. We say yes to you today, Father. We say yes to you today, Father, that you guide us and direct us. And as we go forward, Father, to hear the message you've given me today, that you put in my heart and it's coming out of my heart based on my own life. I thank you, Father God, this message will influence and empower people to look to the simple. The world likes complexity. The world likes confusion. But this day, Father God, we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and not conform to the ways of the pattern of this world, but to follow the simplicity of Jesus. As I mentioned, he didn't have a steed. He had a donkey. He didn't have palaces and mansions and rule the kingdoms. He just came to say the simple message of salvation. So thank you, Father God, as you guide me and direct me. Let me decrease. Let the Holy Spirit increase. To share a message, Father God, so simplistic, but yet so meaningful, Father God, that we stop being wandering generalities and become meaningful specifics for the mission you gave us to go into the world with the simple message of the good news, the gospel of Christ. I thank you, Father God, for hearing my prayer. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. And let them have a heart to receive and a mind to understand, Father God, that you came to show us your love, give us your love, and complete us in your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am moved today, and I was praying that I could do this show today because this was so important for me as I'm being transformed. When I was in the Army, a friend of mine who was a high-ranking official told David, you got one problem. I said, what is that? He said, you do too much self-disclosing, and it's not necessary. That's not what we do. And I always believed that true leadership could always expose themselves because they were secure with themselves. Within myself, I'm okay. But I know that when I entertain what the world thinks, sometimes I got challenged. But I didn't have a problem with self-disclosure because I knew that if I open up my heart to others, I would hope they would experience my heart and know that my intention was only to help. And I think that in good leadership, as I'm studying the word more and more, in good leadership is that we learn how to define a level of self-awareness. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Too many people like to give instructions. They like to exercise power. They like to talk about themselves in a high level. And the Bible tells us, let us not think of ourselves more than we ought to. But when it comes down to the true person, the authenticity of the person, then it becomes questionable. And then when we see the true person, we're shocked. Because sooner or later, the light, the darkness, will have to be exposed in the light. So I'm moved today because I've become aware of some things that maybe I knew but needs to be reminded of. And the Holy Spirit gave me this to work with. You see, the scripture tells us in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Psalms 116:6 says, the Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. That insight. Sometimes we get so high on ourselves, we get so caught up in the egotism of who we are, we lose sight of who we are. We lose sight of who we are. And truly, as the scripture earlier said, you can't serve God and money. Money being another idol, something that we put so much emphasis on, we lose sight of the one who created it all. 1 Corinthians 14:33 say, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You see, God continues to tell us that he who keeps his mind on thee, he will give him perfect peace because he trusts him. Very simplistic instructions. We want peace of mind. We want peace in our environment. We want peace in our home. We want peace in our relationships. But we bring complexity when it's so simple to just hear the God's word. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, for I decide to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The simplicity of following Christ and recognizing the crucifixion of what he did for us to save us. This becomes so much more important as Paul would begin his journey from the transformation of the complexities of the world when he, as a Pharisee, a Jewish, Roman citizen, dealt with the complexity of how the world would present things. But once he became transformed, if you will, on the road to Damascus, he began to recognize the simplicity of following Christ. At that point, nothing else mattered. He reduced down his complexities to the simplicity to enjoy life, the life that Christ could give with the, of abundance, if you will. Acts 4:32. Now the full number of those who believe were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Usually when you can reduce down or deduce down something, you bring it to the smallest common denominator. What do you have in common? One heart, one soul. Or are you divided? When we are divided, again, complexity sets in, and it creates that confusion. When we become one and complete, and as I've been studying more and more, I want to move to full development. When I move into full spiritual development, the complexities kind of fade away. Yes. A simplicity of a tool is a little story I have. When NASA first started sending up the astronaut, they quickly discovered that the ballpoint pen would not write in zero gravity. To combat the problem, NASA scientists spent 10 years and $12 billion to develop a pen that writes in zero gravity, upside down, underwater, and almost any surface, including glass, at a temperature ranging from below freezing to 300 centigrade. Complexity here, people. They spent 10 years and $12 billion. However, Russia entertained the same thought about what to use to write, and they used a pencil. They used a pencil. You see, we can get so caught up in our head with the ideal of making things that should be simple more complex. Einstein said that if you cannot reduce the thing that you are engaging or entertaining to the simplest common denominator that a child can get it, you don't understand it. Simplicity, people. You see, the moral of the story is define the problem, identify the solution, act, execute, deliver on the solution. Act, execute, and deliver on the solution by keeping it simple. So this is what my show is about, is a freedom for complexity for God's clarity. You see, our world is full of, and we wear these challenging medals with honor. We parade around life sharing to us how busy we are, how much we got going on in our lives, and how it has an impact on our time and energy. This showcase is so impressive that many seem to follow it themselves. You heard it. I'm so busy with my children, husband, my job, my career, especially my entertainment life, that I can't make heads or tails on my true purpose in life. We fill our lives up with so much. I understand this very clearly. As I reflect on my own complexity, I realize that I have created my own maze, that I can hardly find my way out at times. There was a young soldier, a friend of mine, that understood the principles of simplicity that the Army had impressed in our head from basic training. Basically said, you should be ready with your badge packed at the door when the trumpet sounds. This means you just got your gear, and you're ready to roll. If you can pick it up and throw it on your back, you are ready to rock and roll. You see, my friend lived and moved on this principle with ease. When everyone else had made this concept of readiness more complicated by having too much stuff, when the call came, he was always prepared with his double bag and backpack and his weaponry ready to roll out in a moment's notice. Are you ready to roll out in a moment notice? Is your life so filled with so much clutter? My grandmother used to say, well, if you buy a lot of clothes, all you're going to have is a closet full of clothes. I know this. I have a lot of clothes. Fortunate enough, somebody taught me simplicity as a child. I spent a lot of money on clothes and taught me that it was not the clothes that made the man, but the man that made the clothes. But the point that I stress here is that we fill our life up as I ride by people's homes and I do my walking and my running and the garage is up. Complexity I see. This is one reason why people are not ready to move, because they have made their life so complex with stuff, the things of the world. Yet, if you ask the same people to sit down and read a chapter of God's Word, they're too busy because of the complexities in their lives. How about you? Are you ready when the call comes? Are you so busy that you are not prepared to move out as a soldier ready to go to war? Now, I'd like to say we got to get off the playground and get into the battleground. Are you ready for that? Let me share a story that the Holy Spirit gave me with a different twist on being prepared in the ways of simplicity. This is about the 10 bridesmaids. At this time, the kingdom from heaven will be compared to 10 bridesmaids who took their oil lamp and went out to meet the groom. Now, 5 of them were foolish. They didn't take any oil with them, but the wise one took flax of oil with their lamp. And since the groom was late, see, we don't know what the next moment would bring. All of them became sleepy and laid down. But at midnight, there came a shout. The trumpet had blew. The groom is here. Come out to meet him. Then all the bridesmaids woke up and got their lamps ready. But the foolish one told the wise, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Hold on. Excuse me, getting hoarse here. Excuse me. But the wise ones replied, no, there will never be enough for us, for you. You better go to the dealer and buy yourself some. While they were away buying, the groom arrived. Those who were ready and went with him into the wedding banquet, and the doors were closed. Later, the other bridesmaids arrived and said, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he replied, I tell all of you with certainty, I don't know you. So keep on watching because you do not know the day or the hour. Are you ready? Now, there are many interpretations on the story that I've seen with commentaries, but what the Holy Spirit gave me was that if our life is so complex that we can't even get something simple together as oil, we will find ourselves left behind when the call comes. Again, we're so consumed with our worldly daily activities. Again, this is my own story. Now they are, but we can see that the bridesmaid who understood the importance of being ready and keeping their lives simple was ready to roll out when the call came. Can we say we are ready to move when God calls us to move? I have to admit, I have let my own life get so cumbersome with many obligations and complications. Remember, I opened up about the leaders who can tell their own story. I was talking to my other elders this morning on our Bible study class, and we were talking about David and his leadership and how David handled various different things. And one thing David knew he could always go to God. But then there were things that started to happen in David's life. These cares of the life began to make his life complex, and his leadership became in question. But David still always knew who he can go back to. Maybe that's why God always said he was a man after his own heart. Because he never forgot. He could get sometimes in the fire, like to say, when you can't retrieve something in your mind or memory or what have you, it means that in a file cabinet, that memory is further back in the cabinet. But you still can retrieve it. So as David's life became complex and began to become kind of chaotic at times with his family, his children actually, and his kingdomship, he began to have to go back to God, just like he did when he was a shepherd boy, when he was running from Saul. He had to go back. See, David knew he had to dig back further in that file cabinet and pull that memory up that allowed his belief system to get back in line. Get away from the external complexities that existed in order for him to be able to truly come back to God as a simple shepherd boy. complicity. I believe in my heart as I try to envision David many times as a shepherd boy. Yes, there may have been some complex time, but there was a simplicity to that because all he had to do was take care of the sheep. Take care of the sheep. And all the things that go on with ruling a country, ruling a kingdom, dealing with multiple personalities, attitudes, being a representation of what the world wants you to be. People being a people pleaser, trying to fulfill needs that basically God should be fulfilling. For he tells us in his word, my God shall supply my needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus, not our riches. Whether it's money, fame, status, position, whatever you want to add into that. Simplicity. And see, these five bridesmaids understood the importance of simplicity, even to the point they would just put some oil in a flask. They didn't need a whole lot. It didn't say they got all their clothes together and they got all their family together and they brought everything down together. No, they just needed that all. Simplicity. More and more I'm recognizing how important simplicity is. So you see, like my elder who was preaching Sunday on the message when she talked about the Messiah syndrome. Sometimes we want to save everybody. From a it's actually a psychological diagnosis known as Messiah complex disorder. In general, it means you're trying to fix everything for everybody. Maybe you have good intention and well-meaning, but at the expense of yourself, you bring complexity to your world. I understand that. And I would believe in my heart as I began to allow the Holy Spirit to open and expand my thought process and to work within my heart and open up my eyes and open up the eyes of my heart to recognize I had to examine myself. How did I get to these complexities? Someone said to me, be careful who you get counsel from. This is true. I see counselors, worldly counselors, who deem themselves sometimes as Christians. But fortunate enough, I've learned to test the spirit. And I talk to many people every day. Every day. And I've been talking to people since I was a little boy. Thousands and thousands of people I've met along the way. And literally thousands of people. The army has afforded me those numbers. And I've learned how we allow ourselves to get so caught up in the complexity of the demands of the cares of the world. And if you're not careful, Satan can slip in the cracks of your armor. You can truly be a soldier that's armored up. But if you don't do your due diligence to maintain that armor with God's word, to oil what you need to oil, to clean what you need to clean, to maintain that armor so it is ready and efficient to do what it's designed to do, he will weasel his way into those cracks. And then he will attack with vengeance. And as he does that, you look around, you say, how did my life get here? How did I emotionally get taxed? How did I get mentally confused? How did I lose my peace? How did I damage this relationship or gave too much to another relationship? What was my check and balance? It's easy to get caught up. The other part of our leadership is that leaders need to recognize their own flaws. We can teach people all day long, but if we're not bold enough to look and courageous enough to look at ourselves, then truly are we leading? I've seen many leaders in my life, many, from many walks of life. And rarely do I hear leaders talk about themselves. Oh, they'll talk about everybody else. But rarely do they talk about themselves until it gets exposed. Now we go, oh, what happened? But let a man examine himself as he allowed the complexities and the cares of the world to consume him or her, that they lose sight of simplicity of following God's instruction. As my pastor and the prophet just presented, follow the instructions. And as my chair for my PhD told me, embrace the process. let go of the complexities and focus on the realities of simplicity. Let me share a story of Moses, who was overworking himself by making his life more complicated than it needed to be. Remember, Moses worked with Pharaoh. He was a part of a kingdom. He was a part of authority and power and status and position. And then he got caught up with the cares of the world, and the complexity began to take a hold of his life. Then he saw a simplicity for a moment. In another way, he lost all the fame and fortune and riches of his first status. And in his second status, he was in the field, if you will, for 40 years, the wilderness. And then God came to him with a simple message to go out and give a more in-depth message in his latter life. Simplicity. But we have to follow the instructions. We have to have the ears to hear. We have to have the heart to believe. This is out of Exodus 18:13-24. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning to evening. People can drain you. People can pull on you. People, places, and things brings complexity to many things. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning to evening?" Moses answered, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will." The Messiah's entry. People come to me to seek God's will. It may be true, but where is it moving in his life? What is it doing to change the simple thing that God gave him instructions to do to make it complicated because he's appeasing the people? Whenever they had a dispute, it was brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decree and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What are you doing? What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourself out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." I understand that. So one of the things that the army kind of drilled in my head, that as the leader, you are accountable and responsible for everybody. So my thoughts didn't come out of a vacuum. When I was a child, my grandfather, who was a serviceman himself, "You are accountable and responsible." And I began at 3 years old telling my son, "You are accountable and responsible. This is what you must be." And you take responsibility. But when you move into leadership, sometimes you take on all the responsibility. And your ego gets in the way. You begin to E-G-O, etch God out. Because you began to think that you can handle it all alone, like Moses. "Listen now to me. I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them to do his decree and instruction, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men for all the men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gains, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." This reminds me when you're given a status, a platoon sergeant, a platoon leader, first sergeant, you begin, and a squad leader, you may begin with 10, and then as a platoon leader, you get 50, and as a captain, you get 100, and as a battalion commander, you may get hundreds, a thousand. So there's a hierarchy, there's a rank, because you learn to delegate some of those responsibilities. As God gives us knowledge in the ranks, he gives us the status and the position, yes, But that's all it is. I'm not good with status and positions and roles and titles. They don't suit me. Because I'd rather my work speak than my rank and my status and my, if you will, power. And as I grow in God's word, I realize that, yes, he said he would give some prophets, teachers, and different roles, preachers, if you will, different roles. But sometimes people get caught up in the role, in their leadership role, in their status, and they lose sight that God is the appointer. God is in charge. And all we are to do is to be the vessel that execute the order. Execute the order. Then he tells his father, tells him, have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult to you, the simple case they can decide themselves. This will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Here's the kicker. All through the beginning of Revelation, it said, let each tribe that he spoke to, said, let him have ear. Let him hear for those, I got it mixed up. Let him who have ears to hear, hear. Then as you hear this, so as I stand in front of my troops, they hear the day's orders. Now they must activate their listening skills to process what is necessary to execute it with knowledge and wisdom so they may make an educated decision. This is what the reply was. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He began to get rid of the complexity for the simplicity to begin to move with a little more peace of mind. So let me share a few things before I close out. The benefits of letting complexity go and allow simplicity to step in. One, it gives meaning. Simplicity leads to a more meaningful life. The secret of living a meaningful life is to strip away everything that is trivial or unnecessary, and everything left will be meaningful. Time. The wisdom of simplicity teaches us to say no. Two simple letters that are very complex for me. I go from the inability at times to say no to let me see what I can do. Let me see what I can do. And you know what I do then? I open up that crack in my armor gets wider and I bring complexity in. I can't talk about everybody else, but I surely can talk about me. No matter where I go, there I am. So I know me well. I have no shame to share these things that I struggle with because maybe, and I can say maybe with authority because I've met enough people to know that my story is not just my story. My complexities are not just my complexities. My struggles are not just my struggles. My challenges in life are not just mine alone. There are millions of people just like me. And the Bible, as I begin to study it more, God was so wise in his doing as he inspired the men who wrote the words we read today. He shows us a clip, a trailer to their life movie, their complexities, their struggles, their weaknesses, their strengths, their leadership, their discipleship. He shows us their sins. You see, most people are not going to talk about their sin. They will tell you, I'm a sinner. You know I'm a sinner. We all miss the mark. We all fall short. But they ain't going to tell you when they struggle with adultery. They're not going to tell you when they're out there fornicating. They're not going to tell you when they're ripping people off. They're not going to tell you when they're lying. They're not going to tell you that they got hidden genders. They're not going to tell you that they want their status so they can have power and fame. They ain't going to say that. They'll talk about everybody else, but they ain't going to talk about themselves. Talk about themselves. But the Bible shows us this. This is why when my peers, or if you will, or my other brothers and sisters in Christ, we get together, they talk about the humanity. That's what really moved me when I began to read the Bible, that I realized I wasn't any different from them. Because the world would say I'm a terrible person if I fell short. And I, because I've been conditioned to always want to be accountable, responsible, would beat up on myself. But as I began to read in the Holy Spirit, it gives me illumination on the word and people's lives from the biblical time. It lets me know people ain't changed that much. And it takes a lot to look into the mirror. It takes courage to look into the mirror and see your ugliness. But when you can look at that, you can begin to allow God to transform you into the beauty he intentionally designed. Because the ugliness is the Satan, that is Satan's illusion, Satan's devices, his wiles, all the darts that he tried to throw at you to keep you from being what God intended you to be, which is his masterpiece, his number one focus that even the angels would question. Why? But if you don't look at yourself, you don't allow God to use other vessels who are trying to serve God to help you to be move in the direction, if you will, that God intended you to move, because he used a body. How I know that? Because he put Jesus in a body. Came down in the same body we had. So we have to have ears to hear to let God use what he needs to get his message across. Hey, God could use a whale or a donkey. Also, what simplicity does in relationship. If you want a relationship to thrive, choose simplicity in all things. This will create time to be with each other. And all relationships thrive when you can give them carefree timelessness. Not on your phone, not on your computer, not talking to everybody, not watching TV, not getting your drink on, your smoke on, your hanging out on, your party on. I'm not judging anybody. I've done it all. All what I named anyway. I've done it all because I was out there in that world. But I'm in the process. I am ever changing. And sometimes I struggle. I struggle with emotional balance. But I know this, as a bodybuilder, as a man that broke horses in, a man who's been able to do some of the things that would blow people away, planes, trains, automobiles, and deep sea diving, you name it, I've done it. But you had to start off with a beginning and go through the process to get to the victory you're trying. In that, I've learned these lessons of what is important, what is needed, but it's a process. But each piece and each experience I have, good, bad, or indifferent, I have made up my mind years ago not to let life and its challenges and issues, as I learn from them, I wanted to learn them, not allow them to be life curses, but life lessons. My intent, even as a child, was to be the best I could be. Now God has given me a different level. Now with this new, transformation into this higher level of spirituality, I've had my peak experience. As I was going up in a ladder, if you will, I had peak experience, but I couldn't sustain at the top. And I come back down that ladder. But now as I simplify things and I begin to progress, I can be a little higher on the ladder now and remain there for a moment or two, if not longer. Next is clarity. Adopting the wisdom of simplicity will lead to a greater clarity about who you are and what matters most. This will lead you to make better decisions, educated decisions. When I say educated, not by no institution, not necessarily. That helps. But by being able to have the knowledge, wisdom, understanding that the Holy Spirit will give, that allows you through studying God's word, meditating on God's word, and then adding all those other things such as institutional learning, reading, and all these new ways to approach getting knowledge, you can make a better decision. And with the clarity of simplicity, you will continue to eliminate anything that is unnecessary, shifting the focus of your life from the trivial to the most essential, fulfillment. The simple life is more fulfilling when we rush around tasting everything but savoring nothing. We become dissatisfied and unfulfilled. Simplicity allows us to drink deeply and savor the most important things in life. To savor is to taste and enjoy completely. And when was the last time you savored something? You embraced it. I was reading an article of some football player, Tom Brady. Now, I'm not saying this is appropriate per se, but he said that this gal he was dating, that they had tried these mushrooms. And out of that experience, he said he walked away understanding love at a deeper level. I can't speak for the man, or just what I read in the article. But what I gather in this moment I'm talking now is that he has something he was able to savor. So maybe prior he didn't understand the depthness of love, as we talk about probably in the meaning of eros. But he had walked away with this experience. And that's what our life is, nothing but a multitude of experiences that we gather knowledge and information to help us be able to put things in perspective for our lives. But when we gain the knowledge, wisdom, understanding from the Holy Spirit, he begins to illuminate that knowledge in a way that we get a clear picture of what God's will and intention for our lives is to be. And if we have ears to hear and we follow God's instruction, we begin to recognize what is meaningful, what is not, what is complex, and what is not. Simplicity is liberating complex from complexity in the form of that slavery that complexity keeps us in. Money, things, commitment takes up our mind, our time, and our energy, and it complex our lives, liberating us from these type of shackles, if you will. We begin to understand what is necessary and unnecessary. When we simplify our lives, little by little, we liberate ourselves. Integrating. Hallelujah. Simplicity makes it a little easier to live in alignment with God and our values. Living a simple life creates fewer situations in which our values are challenged. When we have a complicated life, we end up with the ends justify the means. Think. When we abandon our value, we abandon ourselves and separate ourselves from ourselves and God as well. We lose our happiness. Simplicity is about me. Simplicity allows us to live in the true abundance that God offers, which he says, I supply your needs according to his riches and glory. We don't have to want. See, Socrates says that the richest man is not he who has the most, but he who need the least. Let me say that again. The richest man is not he who has the most, but he who needs the least. There was a conversation between Jesus and the rich man, and eventually Jesus said, yes, you've done all these things, and you have these things, but I tell you to do this. Sell all what you got and come with me. Couldn't handle that. His life was so filled with the complexities of the things of the world and his life, he couldn't make that choice. And less really is more and better. Today, let us recognize our lives don't have to be this complicated. If we just move towards God's word and as he gives us knowledge and wisdom and understanding, that simple method approach in life will produce the best outcome in life. It will produce the best outcome. Now, I'm not one to give a lot of advice that I'm not willing to practice. Anything I tell people that they should take under advisement, as the judge told me when I was just on my way to jail for a little while, I take the things under advisement. I listen to everyone. I actively listen to everyone. And now that I have the Holy Spirit residing in me, he helps me to discern to the left or go to the right or just stand. And sometimes I slip because I let that crack in my armor get there. But I know this much now. See, as I told one of my nieces one time, the one thing I'm all about is speedy recovery. I'm all about a speedy recovery. So as we begin to move forward through this week, I want everyone to recognize that we need to get rid of the complexities and bring our life back into simplicity. And the simplicity is, again, accepting Christ, believing in Christ, and letting the world know about Christ. The simple as the man said, to let everyone know that there's somebody that can save anybody. He can save us from these complexities. And as always, the soldier perspective. Life is too unpredictable for unnecessary complexity. Truly, life can be complicated due to the unpredictabilities that can manifest in our life. Yet many of those complexities we put on ourselves. Therefore, we should strive to keep life simple as possible. Learn to enjoy the smell of the roses, as they would say, along the way. When we learn to truly trust God in all that we do, we can rest in the fact that God's way is the easiest, the simplest way, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want simplicity, remember God said that he that keeps his mind on thee, he gives him perfect peace because he trusts him. He will give us peace in that simple moment, that simple thing that we do. Because all that we need, he will provide for me and you. Remember, as we begin to become more simple in the sense of the things that we do and entertain to release the complexity, let us release those things that keep us shackled and held down and be open to those things that gives us true freedom. Because when God set us free, we are free indeed. Jesus said, as always in Mark, I'd love to say this, 10:35-45, Jesus explained that he came as the Son of Man to give life as a ransom. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Simple. He knew what he came to do. Wasn't complicated. Ain't hard to figure out. Don't take a rocket scientist to understand what this means. This is what we got to be focusing on. It's not about us people. We have an assignment, we have a mission, we have a call on our life. It's time to keep that simple and just follow the instructions of God's word through the Holy Spirit, and we can begin to make that change. So again, if you haven't accepted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, please do those ABCs. Accept Christ, believe in Christ, and confess with your mouth that you accept Christ, and you accept him as the one who died for your sins and forgave you of your sins. And then your life will begin to move. And as it moves, don't allow it to get so caught up in the cares of this world that it gets complex. Keep it simple. They used to say in the Army, kids, keep it simple, stupid. I just say, keep it simple, saints. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Now, if you want to gain more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding what God's word is all about, hallelujah, please check into Kingdom Building Development Institute. We will provide all that you need that we have through the Holy Spirit to give you so that you too can walk in this freedom that God gives. And also, you want to contact us and ask for prayer or anything of that nature, you can contact us by email at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact the home office at 313-583-9739. And again, it's always important to sow into the ministry, because even though the gospel is free, the work in the ministry costs. So if you're giving a dollar, or you're giving $1 million, each can be a difference that makes a difference to change the lives of many, so they too can embrace God's word. And I want to close out without hesitation about letting people know about our prayer conference and coming up in September, the 15th through the 18th. This will be from Thursday to Sunday, and I tell you that it's going to be a golden opportunity for you to be able to gain more knowledge and wisdom and understanding on how to walk in the simplicity of Christ and yet walk away with the wisdom of Christ to be able to handle anything that comes along in your life. Again, as always in party, I always like to say, you pray for me and I'm always pray for you, that we will allow God to take those things of complexity and simplify them for me and you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. I pray, oh
so easy.